Y'all are like, can I admit that in church? Is anybody going to see? The premise of that movie is that they've had it with all the chaos of Christmas and all the commercialism stuff that comes with it. So the title of the message is Containing Christmas, because one thing I want to look at is we try to make Christmas fit what we want it to be, and sometimes create it into be something that it was never meant to be. Because what you learn is, just like we're talking about with Joseph, God tends to work in ways that are different than we might have expected. We're going to look at that. We're going to look some at Mary and at Joseph and all that's going on in this story that can become too familiar, and you lose the luster and the wonder and excitement and really kind of the craziness of how all this happened. The Christmas story is scandalous, in case you don't know. When you look at it historically and biblically as to what's going on, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 1. I made some notes, some things to think about, and then we'll dive into the text. And bear with me, because the coughing is coming back. Miss Sharon just graciously gave me a cough drop. So hang in there with me on that. Christmas comes earlier each year at the influence of commerce and culture. The reality is that too often we try to contain Christmas. We try to make it fit us, make it convenient for us, but there was nothing convenient about Christ's coming at Advent. As a matter of fact, Christ is not convenient. He's not influenced by commerce or culture. He's not molded or manipulated by our version of Christianity. In our desperation, we needed hope. We needed help. And He came. Not the way we would have expected. As a matter of fact, almost everything about Him is not what we would expect. When you're looking in Matthew chapter 1, I'm going to spare you the reading of the genealogy, but I am going to point out a couple of people in there so that you see, even through the whole lineage before the birth of Christ, God is doing something that we might not have expected. In those preceding verses, verses 1 through 17, there's a couple of names that I want to point out. There's a lot that I would love to go into. I actually like preaching the genealogy, just going through who these people are. But it's explaining the lineage of Christ. And you'll see a name in there by Rahab. Rahab professionally was a prostitute. And she is in the lineage of the perfect Son of God. Hang tight. If you read down a little further and we get to David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Yeah. It's amazing that God would choose to work through people that society and even religion would shun and push away. Not only work through them, but make them a part of the lineage of Christ Himself. You know what that tells me? That God can do anything with anybody at any time, no matter where they've been, what they've done, what they've been through. Because in this lineage, we see that, and there's so many others, and I got to stay focused or I'll start chasing that rabbit because there's good stuff. But just to give you a background, before Christ even get here, before He even came, God is using people that we would have never expected to be part of this process to bring salvation to everybody. In verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, again, it's something that we've heard so much, it can become familiar. So I want to walk through this in such a way that we really see and understand what's going on, so that we can realize that this season is not about containing Christmas and making it what is convenient for us, but it's about experiencing Christ and everything that He brought to us. It's hard for me sometimes to deal with all of the commercialism and materialism and the stuff that we've turned Christmas into. So in moments like this, to go back and look at the reality of it and what God meant it to be helps to keep me balanced and focused on who He is, what He did, and what He wants to continue to do through us. What should be a celebration of freedom and deliverance has become nothing more than an opportunity to feed our greed and expand the economic engine of commerce. Instead, what God meant is for it to be a celebration of the birth of His Son, who came so that we could be born again, so that we could have our sins forgiven. Even His name indicates that. So let's look at it and look at Joseph and Mary both in the process and try to get a grasp on what's happening here. After His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, engaged, and in this culture that was really already marriage, it says after that commitment was made, before they had known each other. And I don't think I need to clarify what he means there. They had not been together. There had been no consummation of the marriage, if you will. It says she was found with child. Well, hello. If you're Joseph, this is a timeout moment. What's going on here? Explain to me how this is possible. Not only is she pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Now try to wrap your head around that. Historically, she was a teenager. She's having to deal with the fact, and it's in other portions of the Gospels we're not going to get into today, that an angel has come to her and said, guess what? You're going to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit with the Son of God as your child. If I'm Mary, I got some questions at that point. If I'm Joseph and Mary comes to me and tells me what's going on, I got some questions. All of a sudden, there's a crisis here, what could have been a crisis, because culturally and socially, things have just been turned upside down for this couple. Things are not working out like Joseph planned. He wasn't expecting this. Mary was not expecting this. But yet, it's what's starting to happen right there, not only in front of them, but around every aspect of their world. Verse 19, Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. His response was, okay, we're just going to end this thing because I don't want you to be public. This is a scandal. We can't do this. You're pregnant. We haven't been together. We can't do this. And so practically, and as it says, he's a just man, he says, we're just going to kind of make this go away, end it, move on. But, verse 20, while he thought about these things, and wouldn't you be thinking about them? Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Okay. In a dream, and you'll see during this time period, a lot goes on during the dreams. It's an important thing. He encounters the angel of the Lord that says, I think, some pretty key words right here. Do not be afraid. If I'm Joseph, I'm not only thinking about what's going on, I'm pretty upset and afraid about what to do with the situation. And yet the word from God through the angel is, don't be afraid. I'm doing this. Oftentimes when God begins to do things in our lives, the first thing it does is scare us to death. Because the way He starts to do it, we weren't expecting that. You can't do it this way. This is not how it's supposed to work. And yet these words are important to hang on to. Do not be afraid. So he gets that message from the angel. And he goes on to say, she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. Process it. Here's Joseph, carpenter, blue collar, engaged to Mary. She turns up pregnant. In a dream, the angel of the Lord says, she's pregnant, not only that, but there's something else you need to know. She's pregnant by the Holy Spirit of God. Okay. And the baby is going to be called Jesus. And here's why. He will save his people from their sins. You have to understand, Joseph and Mary both had been taught about Messiah coming. How would you like to see the moment on their face when they realize, oh, we got him? They weren't expecting that. God interrupted and crashed into their world, into a world of two people that nobody would have ever expected to be the ones to be the parents of the Messiah, the Son of God. I love stuff like this. Because it gets God so far out of the box that we try to put Him in. And even things like when we go through Christmas and we try to make that fit what we want. He's bigger than that. And He's going to do things a whole lot different than we expect. Because He's doing it right here. That's how He brought Christ to us. In verse 22, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, and he's referencing Isaiah 7:14. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God, the Creator, full of majesty, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God with us. The scripture from Isaiah had been read in the temple. They had heard it. They knew Messiah was coming. And now all of a sudden, guess what? He's here. And God is not some far-fetched concept that the only way we can get to is through a priest. All of a sudden, He's here. And He's in a teenage girl. And when He's born, they're not at the best hospital in town. They're in a manger. He's in a feed trough. The Son of God, in all perfection, the Savior of the world, in a feed trough. We didn't see that coming either. So Joseph, in verse 24, being aroused from his sleep, no doubt, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Why? Because he's going to save the people from their sins. By the way, that comes all the way down through history to right here, to right there. Not only that, you're calling his name Emmanuel because he is God with us. He still is. That hasn't changed. And Jesus is still the one who saves people from their sins. Let me share a couple more thoughts with you. The believer, far from once having a God-shaped hole in his or her being that is now filled, is one who has a God-shaped hole formed in the aftermath of God, a hole that compels them to seek after that which they already have. The Christian religion arises as a space that testifies to God by testifying to a God who created but who cannot be contained within that space. The void left by God is not unlike a type of black hole, full of something that cannot be seen and which draws our gaze into the unseen. It's worth our time, not only just in a service setting like this, but throughout the season of chaos, of commercialism. It's worth our time to stop and think about these things and really allow it to grip our hearts, to guide our minds into what all this is about. That the God of the universe would want to come not only save us, but be with us. And He did it in such a bizarre way, a socially unacceptable, culturally controversial manner, is the way that Christ came and crashed into our world and created this thing called Christmas. He's bigger than we think He is. His ways are not only higher, but they're stranger. Just look at the Savior of all mankind lying in the feed trough. He showed up in a strange way, and things have never been the same. A couple things to consider. He's so different than we think. Now, I know we've talked about that. But I think going back and reading this story again and trying to think about how's Mary handling this, how's Joseph handling this, and realizing that God does things so differently. Here's some other thoughts about Him. He's not mad at you like you think He is. This concept of God being this big cosmic being who just wants to crush your life when you get out of line changes when all of a sudden there's a baby in a manger born in a really weird way who's come here to save you from your sins, who's come here to bring God to you, to dwell among you. He's not mad at you like you think He is. His grace is bigger than we think it is. And something to take out of this as we look at Christ who came for us, to not only be born, but to live and to die for us, so that God could be with us. He loves us a whole lot more than we think He does. Or none of this would have happened. So rather than try to contain Christmas, I think it's important that we become consumed with the Christ of Christmas, who came for us because He loves us, to save us, and so that God could be with us. Let's stand together. Let me pray for you. God, it sometimes shakes us up a little bit when we really look at You for who You are and what You do and the way You do it. It even makes us uncomfortable to think about the circumstances of the birth of Christ. So I pray today that our worlds would be shaken with that reality and understanding that sometimes You do things a whole lot differently than we would ever think. So when we encounter You through whatever circumstances, may we not analyze, but may we absolutely surrender. Lord, I pray today for every person in this room. Only You know where they're at and what's going on. I pray if there's anybody here who has not experienced Jesus as their Savior personally and given their lives to Him, that today would be the day that they would step out in faith to receive forgiveness and to receive life abundant and eternal. And Lord, I pray for those today who are struggling because maybe they've gotten away from the reality of Christ in their life. Maybe they're caught up in the stuff of Christmas and commerce and culture. And maybe they've gotten away from You. I pray that You draw them back today. Allow them to experience Your grace, Your forgiveness, and more love than they've ever known. Lord, I pray that during this time of invitation and response, You would move in our midst, that You would call people out to obedience and faith as You see fit. But I pray most of all that we would have the opportunity to experience You, to know You, and to love You because You first loved us. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.